Gentlemen, we went over the rules in the dressing room. I want to caution you to keep this fight clean at all times, and what I say, you must obey.
Live from the WKOM studio in downtown Columbia, it's time to wake up and get woke. It's Three Dudes with a View.
Let's get it all!
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Three Dudes with a View. I am dude number two, Clayton Harris, filling in for dude number three, Del Kennedy. He's a little under the weather today. We hope he gets to feeling better. We'll see him back on Monday. As always, we are joined by dude number one, Mr. Jim York. Good morning, Mr. York.
Good morning, Clayton. Good morning, everybody.
Special guest dude, favorite son of Columbia. I'll go ahead and give the Delk spiel that he always does. And 1977 graduate of Columbia Central High School, Mr. Ron Hart. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
Well, gentlemen, it's the three of us today. So
Delk not taking that elixir he always takes? I thought he knocked that little stuff off.
You know,
what does he have?
I'm not really sure. It is, my daughter had something similar about a week ago. So,
It affects the elderly. You got to be careful.
Watch it. Allergies tend to kick in about this time of year, real bad.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely.
With all the trees budding and stuff like that, and it's just dropping all kind of pollen all over the place.
Before we get started this morning, I want to bring up something that we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, but I want to get our audience involved. I've been saying I have not met a person yet that is just, I'm for the voucher program. So here's what I want to do. 931-626-3131. Just send me a text. Yes or no, if you support the voucher bill that Republicans in Nashville are trying to pass. So I'm just curious. Again, the phone number is 931-626-3131. It's just a yes or no if you support the voucher bill. And I kind of want to do my own little poll.
Yeah, you know, even in Texas, and you know Texas is a pro state for school choice, the Republicans in Texas voted against Abbott starting a voucher program in Texas.
Well, I tell you one thing. Literally, my phone is blowing up as we speak with no's. Mm-hmm. No's, no's, no's. So, no yeses yet.
It's going to hurt the little schools, Clayton. That's the whole thing. These little communities that's got only one high school or one school in its area, it's going to tear up that particular economy in the school area,
like a Hole-in-the-Wall or a Perry mm-hmm. County. Yes, I do attend to agree with that because you're right. It's the only school they have in their county. So.
I mean, it's the only large employers, you know.
Correct.
And if you start draining those areas, it's just ridiculous.
The battles and the details, of course, but conceptually, I like the idea of choice and competition. Apparently, Delk's read the details and you've read the details, then I reserve judgment, of course, but generically, I think that the kid has a right to choose. We heard from that kid in that commercial, and I know that was pandering. I know it was anecdotal yesterday, I guess it was, that said why it benefited him. He was being bullied at school and it wasn't the right place for him. I mean, he had more academic challenges to get along. And as a result, he went to the voucher program or to a private school to help him. But again, it's to do it this way, this haphazardly, and then and this whole Nancy Pelosi thing where you say, hey, we'll let you see what's in the bill when we pass the bill. No one seems to have enough, you know, details on this thing. And apparently, according to Mr. York, and I'm taking for his word on this, the woman who went before the state house committee in Nashville was a buffoon. It didn't seem like she knew what she's talking about.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, is that a lot of people say you have a choice to send your kid wherever you want to. And I'm for that, too. But when you start using public money, you're taking public money out of the existing system that you have that educates far more students than you're sending your kid to. I mean, that's kind of slaps public services in the face, you know.
No, I disagree with that. We talked about that yesterday. If it's $12,000 a student to educate them, you take one out, it's minus 12, and then plus $7,000 that you're paying them. So it's a $5,000 gain when you take a student out of the system. So it's a zero-sum game, right?
But when you start draining the system, Ron, when you start taking, say, 5, 10% of the student body out of a school, I mean, that tends to add up.
You do take the smartest ones, which I do understand that. I mean, you probably take some of the more ambitious, more fastidious types that want to go to a better school, theoretically, and you do take that out. It is a brain drain from the schools. And I see the teachers not liking that because they're left with the ones that maybe are more trouble, more special needs, more difficult students, potentially. If all your smart students were at one school in town, it would be tough for all the other schools. I do get that.
Well, the schools are going to pick the students that are easiest to educate, those that have good family support, good economics, and things like that. That's the students that they're going to pick, and good athletes. So, yeah. You know, you get a drain of your top when you balance these divisions out and all these different classes of schools, they're pretty well even when you think about it. Some of them are a little bit better than others, and that's, you have a lot of competition, but you create a big problem in your society when you start singling out and excluding certain persons out of school.
Right. It's always a problem, but if you have a strong AP program and a way for a smart student to excel, we had honors classes, I think, at Central High School with Chamberlain and people like that. You can take honors English, honors math, and that was a way to do it before, I guess, AP, before AP was a word. So you have to have Columbia, that the ability to kids to distinguish themselves academically, because there's always a knock when you got to talk about your Vanderbilts or your you know, Ivy League schools or your, you know, UVAs or whatever, about students from a small town. Are they on the academic par? Is there a 4.1 GPA equal to a 4.1 from Exeter, from Westminster, from Macaulay? And there's always a question about that, right? So how do you distinguish that other than the SAT or the ACT? You distinguish it maybe with AP classes, you know, that have certain criteria that the other classes don't have.
Yeah, you have to look at the whole student. Just because you got a 4.0 doesn't mean that student is competent or proficient or a high performer. You got to look at the whole student, the classes, the what they're involved in and stuff like that to make an assessment of, is that student the quality of student that we want to admit to the university?
Well, so, the only way Columbia has, yeah.
Well, so far, we've gotten all no's. There was a maybe in there. We've gotten probably 20 plus text messages saying no. I do want to, the Tennessean put out a poll in January, and it said that 55% of Republican primary voters, which I don't know how many people voted in the primary, it wasn't a lot, but 55% of Republican primary voters are against Governor Lee's universal school choice proposal. I've seen polls as high as up to 80% saying no. Ron, your thoughts here about the legislature kind of basically saying, we really don't care what the majority of the public thinks. We're going to do this anyway because we think this is the best. That's to me is a huge turnoff as someone who's kind of in the middle.
Yeah. They need to explain to people what it is and why they're doing it a little bit better. That woman that you, like you said, the woman that came before the House and Senate in Tennessee was just kind of a bumbling person who was there for the reason. Conceptually, I like it. I like competition in schools. I like for schools. I don't like monopolies in any form that they exist. Schools tend to be, not in Columbia necessarily, because I had some great teachers that were not liberals that taught me a lot of things that were good. But for the most part, D.C., New York, you name the major city, it's way left-wing, unionized teachers that are all Democrats. And I don't think you want to put your kids in situations where they're taught by either all Republicans or all Democrats. And it could be, you know, it can be bad for either way, I think. But the diversity in schools is very little. I would think Columbia, where the national average is 85%, of teachers are Democrats. I said Columbia's probably 70. Clayton, I don't know. You work at the school.
You just don't really know what's going on in this area. You sure don't know what's going on in terms of politics.
It probably depends on what school you're at in the county. I mean, I don't know. It's probably closer to 50-50, I'd say. If I had to guess.
Here's something though, Clayton, is you hit on a touchy subject for me in that people will get out and campaign and talk about how they want to take care of your area and what they're going to do for Murray County or Tennessee or whatever. And then when they leave or get elected, they tend to get it in cahoots with a cabal somewhere. And they, in order to be accepted, they have to jihad with the cabal. They don't pay attention to the people that elected them. And you know, obviously people are saying, hey, this is not good for Tennessee. And these legislators are rallying around themselves and saying, well, we're in power and we're going to do what we want to do.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think the biggest thing I have an issue with is we've heard for so long that we're going to fix public education. We're going to put in this third grade retention bill. We're going to do all these different things. And to me, it feels like that during this session, they basically said, we're going to kind of give up on that and just put in this voucher thing. And
yeah, but before they even implement, or it takes 3 to 5 years to look at the results in education.
Correct.
Before they implement saying we're putting this money into the public education in Tennessee, we're going to do this and do that. And before it gets on the ground, they start something else.
This is all about the governor wanting this piece of legislation to be his legacy. I mean, that's what this is all about, because you got to remember, next year he's going to be a lame duck, and you know, this is it, and it's hell or high water. This thing's going to pass, and you know, it doesn't matter what the constituents think or what they, you know, they don't want to put this on a referendum. I can assure you that, because it will not pass if they did. But no, this is about the governor and his air quote legacy, and how he wants to be remembered as the governor of the state of Tennessee.
Well, he couldn't get the gun legislation passed, so I guess he picks another pigeonhole to do something to mess up the state again.
We're never going to get a plurality of the votes, because the people that would use the voucher program were like 2 to 3 to 5% of the school, right? There's not going to be a mass exodus to Columbia Academy or whatever. Correct. Over this voucher. It's not going to be that way. It's only going to be 2 to 5. So you're never going to have a group of people where you get 51% saying, yeah, I'm going to send my kid there. They're letting people escape the plantation, if you will, to go to better students. And it's going to hurt schools, because if the better students are drained to a private school, then your scores go down. If you judge by your, you know, proficiency in math, your proficiency in English, and you take your top 5% out of your school, which drives the, you know, the grades at a school, the numbers will go down at the school.
Yeah, but the private schools don't have to adhere to the rigorous testing and standards that public schools. So you never can compare a private school to a public school, because you don't have the data.
They tend to produce better students and better higher grades by SAT
scores. Not necessarily, Ron.
They do. Private schools have higher.
But that's a small segment. That's a small specialized segment of education. If they educated the same crop of kids that public schools educated, that would be not so, Ron.
Well, yeah, of course, if they had all the kids, of course. But you're saying they don't have better grades and higher SAT scores.
I'm looking at the whole picture. There's no evidence. The research shows, when I was on the school board, I looked at the research. There's no research that definitely says the private schools outperform public education.
No, you're saying that it wouldn't happen if they had all the kids that the public schools have. But probably only by a little bit. I think they're better. I think they're more streamlined. They're less thick with administration and overhead. They're less strict with federal regulations that bog them down, things they have to do. I think even Seth, as a Democrat and a liberal, will tell you all the stuff they have to do to appease the feds, the state, on all this testing stuff. They don't have that in private schools. They just teach the kids. And that unencumbered by all those regulations and all those demands by government, especially Washington, I think they're free to teach and get better results.
And I think the most important test that a high school student will ever take will be either the ACT or the SAT. And that's just my opinion.
It's an equalizer.
Yeah, it really is. All right, we're up against our first break. You're listening to Three Dudes with a View. I'm Clayton Harris, along with Mr. Jim York, Ron Hart. We'll be back right after this.
Motor Sales in Columbia has a large assortment of quality new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, a trusted sales staff, and financing plans that fit any budget. Visit Parts once and you'll quickly discover why people all over Middle Tennessee have been buying vehicles there for more than 60 years. And factory-certified technicians can service and repair your vehicle as long as you own it. Go to ParksMotorSales.com or stop by the lot at 919 Nashville Highway and take a test drive today.
Your home is your biggest investment. Getting the most for it when it comes time to sell is important. At The Way Realty, we help you get more by providing all our clients with a full-service real estate company. At no extra cost to you, we help you prepare your house to look its best with home staging, landscaping, professional pictures, marketing on all the major websites, touch-up repairs, and home inspection repairs up to $700. Get more with The Way Realty by reaching out to us to see what we can do for you and to find out the market value of your home. Visit us today at thewayrealtytn.com. Call us at 931-580-4669 or stop by our showroom at 800 Hatcher Lane, Columbia, Tennessee.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. By now you all know about Don, our service truck guy. Well, let me tell you about another member of our service team, and that's Mike Ashley. He's the guy you'll talk to when you call the office. Just call and talk to Mike one time at 931-540-0919, and you'll see why we're lucky to have him here at the Garbage Man. Thanks, Mike, for all you do to keep the Garbage Man first in service. That's 931-540-0919.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Elk Kennedy. The old saying is, happy wife, happy life, couldn't be more true. Many years ago, my wife, Mary Susan, had major surgery on her back, but continued with chronic pain. Doctors were saying invalid, disabled, but then she found the Dr. Gill Center for Back, Neck, and Chronic Pain in Franklin, Tennessee. It has changed our lives. We visited there recently with Dr. Wendy Tuohy, saw the state-of-the-art facilities. Folks, don't take a pill. Call Dr. Gill. Go to callmepainfree.com.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com, and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE PrimeTech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I want to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
The Mules are back in town. For nearly 50 years, Mule Day funds have supported local schools, civic organizations, and improvements at the Maury County Park. Now Mule Day is working to positively impact the lives of young people in Maury County with the Mule Day Works Scholarship. Encourage young people to apply online at muleday.com/works or check it out to see how you can help support career and technical education in Maury County. Support Mule Day Works by attending Mule Day April 4th through the 7th. Visit muleday.com/works. That's muleday.com/works.
Welcome back to Three Dudes with a View. I am dude number two, Clayton Harris, joined as always by dude number one, Mr. Jim York. Good morning, Mr. York.
Good morning, Clayton, and go Gremlin.
I tell you what, we'll get to that in just a second. I'm going to introduce Ron Hart, 1977 graduate of Columbia Central High School. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
And Delk Kennedy, we're filling in for Delk today. Delk's a little bit under the weather. He'll be back on Monday, though, and we hope he gets rested and has a nice long weekend. But you're right, Mr. York. Today is one of the largest call-in days to work days of all year, as the NCAA tournament starts today. But right. your team was able to win in the play-in game.
Yeah, my alma mater got into the play game. You know, it's been a long, dry spell, 46 years since we've been there, but they were able to win in overtime against Montana. So they're going to be at the big dance like everybody else.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Have you filled out a bracket, Mr. York?
No, I haven't filled out a bracket because mine normally fails after about the third round.
I understand. What about you, Ron? You filled out a bracket this year?
In an office anymore. It used to be an office thing, right? So yeah. Now I don't do that. It is a funny probability that someone gets them all right. There's always an upset. You got to pick the upset early, and you got to be right all along the way. And it teaches you a lot about math and probabilities, your inability to do that.
Yeah, I think it was Buffett that was going to give away, $1 billion if you had a completely 100% correct bracket? I think this was probably about 5 or 10 years ago. It's just not possible. If you're out there listening, you do want to jump in on a bracket pool, you can go to ESPN and go to WKOM, WKRM. There's no space in between. Just look for the group WKOM, WKRM. There will be prizes for first, second, and third place. I think it's an Amazon gift card of like $150. So, sign up and play. Games start though today at 11 o'clock local time. So get those brackets turned in. Mr. York, yeah, Ron, go ahead, Mr. York. I apologize.
I was going to say we got tough competition though on the first game, Purdue. You know, and they got that big 7-foot giant or they something got, like that.
Edie, yes, he's very talented, and yes, he's every bit of 7 foot. I think he's actually tall.
Am I wrong? Is there a team with all five guys 7 foot?
Not that I'm aware of.
I missed something on ESPN the other night, but I looked at a whole list of guys. I thought they had them on the same team. They had the same color jersey, and they were 7'3", 7'1", 7'2", and 7'0", something like that. All five of them were the 7 foot range.
The United States hadn't produced a lot of 7 foot in the 80s. You had Sam Bowie and Ralph Sampson and William Bedford at Memphis, a lot of 7 footers in America. Now they're all Russian or Eastern European that are 7 footers. We don't have, I don't know what happened with our height. All of a sudden it stopped.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, you don't have
those chemicals.
Well, you had Shaq in the 90s and late 80s with LSU. But you don't see those guys as much anymore. But you look at a guy like Kevin Durant, who's 6'10", 6'11", he would have been a post player in the 80s, but in today's game, he plays on the perimeter.
He's a shorty. Yeah. But the average height in America was about 5'10", 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, I think America's probably 5'9", and worldwide it's like 5'8", 5'7", throw Asia in there and stuff like that. But yeah, America's like 5'9", maybe 5'10", but 5'9", I think. But, most of the European players, you look at the NBA, too, it's full of European players, those burly guys that push and shove, and they have a style of play that's not quite like the college style of play. And I think the plan for these colleges, a lot of them, is to recruit these foreign kids, that are a part of an Eastern European program that have a different style of basketball, et cetera, than the United States. So there's a tendency. Is a seven-footer for Purdue any foreign Warner?
I don't think so. No, he's an American. You mentioned the European players. So the University of Tennessee has quite a few on their squad, right?
Yeah. And you also have the I know there's one named Golden for FAU, the Florida Atlantic.
Yeah,
who is went to the Final Four last year. He's from Russia. Vivek. We play him. The Memphis plays him several times a year, a couple times a year in our conference. But he's a 7-1. Player probably destined for the NBA, but they wanted to develop. If you're 7 feet in Russia, the only chance you got out, like a baseball player in Cuba, you got to get to the United States to show your talent and develop. And any coach, you can kind of lay out the welcome mat for that. I do know that Dale Brown got Shaq from Germany. His dad was a military guy over in Germany or something. So he made some big effort to go get Shaq to come to LSU.
Obviously, like we mentioned, we got the NCAA tournament starting today. You can catch the University of Tennessee. They play today on our sister station, 103.7 WKRM. And then tomorrow night, you can also catch the University of Alabama as they take on the College of Charleston. I think that's a 6:30 game. Tennessee today has St. Peter's. And the Vols looking to get back on track after dropping their last two. One was a home game against Kentucky, and then last week against Mississippi State. Tennessee's very talented, though, and I would expect them to win. They're 21. I think they're a 21-point favorite today. So we'll see.
Vanderbilt girls won too last night. They moved up.
So they're in. They are. Was that a play-in game too, Mr. York? I think it was.
Yeah, it was a play-in game.
What were you saying, Ron?
Yeah, University of Tennessee, that player, that their main player, Kinnett, what's his name?
Dalton Kinnett.
Kinnett, yeah. He banged around up in the Midwest, upper Midwest for a while. Junior college, didn't have hardly a scholarship. And it's a great story how good he's become.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how they got him, but he came out of nowhere, basically had no offers to speak of out of college. And I think he banged around JUCO or something up in the north, up in Dakotas or something.
He ended up at North Colorado University on a team that won 8 or 10 games last year. And he hits the transfer portal. And I mean, this guy's incredible. I mean, this guy's going to play in the NBA more than likely. He's a prolific scorer. And when he's on, Tennessee's tough to beat.
Well, a lot of these teams are in the portal, too,
Yeah, you have to, everybody knocks the portal. I get the negative part. If you have a legacy strong program like Bama or UT or whatever, you probably knock the portal. But you know, the portals are very egalitarian system, right? So if you're stuck at North Colorado, you're stuck at Albuquerque State playing football or basketball, you're really pretty good and you're outstanding, but you got no chance to get national exposure. You hit the portal and go to a bigger school. It's really good for kids like that. And I know Memphis built their whole team this year around portal kids, football too. I mean, if you're sitting, you're third string running back at Alabama, you're not going to see action. Why not go to Middle Tennessee State or UT Martin, or not UT Martin, but Memphis or a bigger school, Vanderbilt, and showcase your talent. I think it's fair for them.
Look at Dawn Staley down there in South Carolina, the women's team. She was in the portal. She's got a fire plug down there.
I mean, the portal's a new recruiting mechanism, and also too, you probably got more data points on the kid by the time they hit the portal. You're trying to pick a kid out of a high school, 16, 17 years old, and try to discern the vagaries of his talents or her talents or whatever as you recruit them. It's gotta be tough. You know, you got the five stars, et cetera, but your five stars don't always make it. I mean, the five stars, you know, some kids mature early.
I was going to say something happened this week, Ron. I don't know if you've seen it, that has never happened to my knowledge in the portal's history. Caden Proctor was the number one offensive tackle in the country coming out of high school the year before last. He was a freshman last year at the University of Alabama, started at left tackle all season. When Nick Saban retired, he decided that he was going to go back home and go to Iowa. Well, it has been reported that he is planning on re-entering the portal at the end of spring practice and will rejoin his former teammates at the University of Alabama. So I guess, you know, maybe things aren't always
tactic.
Yeah, I mean, it's just bizarre. We actually just had a listener text in saying that Dalton Kinect accepted a voucher to go to the University of Tennessee. That's pretty funny. Ron, I'm sorry I cut you off there. What were you saying?
No, Feinbaum spoke to us. I mean, this YPO group, and Feinbaum, the newscaster down there, spoke to us. I mean, whatever, his podcaster or radio guy down
SEC
in Alabama.
SEC Network, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably one of the best. And he made this point I never really thought about. He said the real difference in a football team being good, bad, or different, or whatever, at college level, and people don't talk about it. So you got six linemen each side, so 12 total, 12 or 13 players out of 22 that are linemen, and they come in when they're 17, 18 years old. The ability to get them from 280, you know, 6'3", 280 in high school to 350 or 345 or 325 and maintain strength and agility is the real game in college. You know, you see these food, the nutrition. Now they show that. Yeah, you know, how they get them there, and that's the real science. 17-year-old boy, I mean, you don't know what you're getting. There's people grow late. Look at Robinson, who grew tall in the Naval Academy, played in the NBA. You never know how they're going to grow, how they're going to mature, how much spirit they have. So the real story says in college football, because there's so many players that are interior linemen, that getting them up from, you know, like 275 up to 325 and keeping their strength and agility up, that's the real difference in the game. That's why usually the Midwestern teams, Ohio State and Michigan, they tend to beat us on the interior line. They're big old farm boys.
Well, Nebraska was that way for years when Tom Osborne was the head coach. And I think Wisconsin kind of has shifted maybe to having those big guys like you're talking about. But I can assure you, I've been to the University of Alabama several times. I've been inside their facilities. And the food, the area where they feed these guys, I mean, it's – there's not a better place in the country. I mean, they have steaks. They have everything that you could imagine. Their indoor practice facility, you literally, when you're walking off the field, they have a juice bar with protein shakes and fruits. And I mean, they're always looking after these guys' nutrition. They're weighing them before and after practice. It's the science, and it's incredible.
They billing a lot of these guys for speed. You know, it's amazing. You see a guy 295 or 300 running like a 4.6, 4.7, and some of them, most of them around 5-something, but they are very, very fast.
Yeah, some of these kids come from parts of town where there's a food desert. They don't have good food. They're poor. They're eating crappy food as a kid, right? So they all of a sudden they're eating better food. getting more muscle, less fat, and it's a differentiator. A lot of times in college football, it's the size of these players. There's so many of them. I mean, everybody talks about quarterback and running back. NFL's kind of figured this thing out because the NFL drafts these linemen, defensive ends, and tackles and pays them more than they do running backs because running backs get hurt. I mean, it lasts about 2 years.
Exactly.
You don't see the quarterbacks come out every now and then get top draft choices. But these down linemen, some of them that are really special that are coming out of the NFL, get paid more, get drafted higher. That's something that's changed probably the last 20 years.
Yeah, they're in the midst of every play. You know, if you're offensive lineman or defensive lineman, you're pretty much playing on every snap.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are on the sideline. Look, you know, wide receivers might get a pass every now and then, but they're not in every play. Down linemen in every play.
And I always love to see an NFL team when they talk about their colleges. You know, they don't do it all the time, but a lot of times they'll introduce the team, their colleges. It ain't Ohio State, Alabama, in Penn State. It's you know, Alcorn State. It's Bowling Green. It's Memphis. It's a lot of schools. Central Michigan. These kids come from everywhere, and these teams aren't all Tiffany players. They come out of these, you know, major college programs. A lot of them, they come from everywhere. If you look at New England, Belichick in New England, he got his players from all over the place. I mean, that kid that had the interception in the Super Bowl.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, he was from Alabama State, I think.
West Alabama, Division II school.
West Alabama, yeah.
Guys,
they,
we're up against
a good mix of players that come from all types of school. The thing is, do they have the skill? If they've got the skill and they feel that they can develop that skill, they'll draft them and work with them.
Well, and I think that's where the transfer portal could help a guy like Malcolm Butler. If it had been around back then, he may have played a year or two at West Alabama and could end up in the SEC. It's like you said, it's all about development. We're up against our final break of the show. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Barry Duke, and you're listening to 101.7 WKOM Columbia.
Hello, everyone. It's Columbia Vice Mayor Randy McBroom here. We are thrilled to invite you all to Mule Day Celebration, April 4th through the 7th. From mule shows to craft fairs to live music to the Mule Day Parade on April 6th at 11 a.m., there's something for everyone during Mule Day. Join us as we come together to celebrate Columbia's history as we create lasting memories. Let's make Mule Day 2024 a true testament to our town's resilience and camaraderie. See you there. For more details, visit muleday.org.
Alert, alert! Columbia Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has a huge announcement. We're expanding our service center to get you in and out quicker than ever. That's right, 5 new service bays to get your vehicle back on the road. Don't drive a Chrysler Dodge Jeep or Ram. It doesn't matter. Our certified technicians are trained to work on all makes or models. More service, less time. Only at Columbia Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Family owned and operated.
You can count on us.
Hi, Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. When you think of diamonds, what do you think of? Rare, precious, timeless, sparkles like the sun. They are timeless and nothing like them on earth. Then do you think, where do I buy local to buy the perfect ring? Maybe a diamond pendant or earrings or maybe a new diamond band. Look no further. Tillis Jewelry carries all your diamond and jewelry needs. Stop by and see our wonderful collection. And remember, if you don't know your diamonds, know your jeweler. Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Feeling like lucky this month? Enter Happy Hiller's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes for a chance to win big for your home. Just visit HillerGoldenTicket.com and enter to win a Happy Hiller Club membership or a $1,000 or a $5,000 Hiller gift card. And everyone wins with 0% interest financing on HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, or whole home generators. Enter to win now at HillerGoldenTicket.com.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store.
We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113. Or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
Hey Tennessee, did you know that in the year 2022, more than 3,800 of your residents have lost their lives due to opioid overdose? Do your part to help lower these numbers by counting your medicine, locking it away, and disposing of it at a local medicine drop box location. You could also stop by your local health department and pick up a free medicine lock box. This project is funded under a grant contract with the State of Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Hi, this is Sergeant Brian Goetz of the Columbia Police Department. Mule Day Week is March 31st through April 7th. This year is the 50th anniversary of Mule Day, and thousands of visitors are expected, and you're likely to see horses and wagons along the street. I encourage motorists to be patient and drive responsibly. Remember, Tennessee is hands-free, so no distracted driving. And don't drink and drive. Let's exemplify Columbia hospitality to our guests. I hope everyone has a safe and happy Mule Day.
Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be the one who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the time they are a changing.
And welcome back to Three Dudes with a View, final show of the week. I'm Clayton Harris, filling in for Delk Kennedy today. I'm dude number two. Dude number one, Mr. Jim York, good morning.
Good morning, Clayton. Good morning, everybody.
Special guest dude, class of 1977 from Columbia Central High School, Ron Hart. How's it going, Ron?
Good morning.
Well, we sent out my phone number at the beginning of the show, and I have to say, I just checked it during the break. Well over 50 plus no's, but I did get my first yes. So I'm just telling you, and I know this little poll that we're doing this morning isn't, you know, anything official. But it kind of backs up my point that we've talked about here the last couple of weeks. I think the overwhelming sense is that the majority of the general public, regardless of political affiliation, they don't want the vouchers. They just simply don't want it.
Well, why is it so hard for them to understand that, though, Clayton? Why are they so incensed that they don't listen to their constituents who put them in office? Because, that's what gets me.
I feel like because of Well, number one, I think there's kind of two pieces to that. I think some of it is they feel so protected because nationally, I would say that some believe that the Democrat Party is so out of touch with everyday Americans that they feel like, you know what, we can do this and still get away with it.
Yeah, but it's everyday Americans that they're supposed to be serving in their own area.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. I'm just telling you I'm trying to guess what their thought process is as far as why they would do this, knowing that overwhelmingly people are against it.
Or they think, I got an R behind my name. I can do whatever I want.
Well, that's it. Exactly.
Well, maybe so they feel. Sometimes, both on the Democrat and Republican side, most lawmakers don't make a lot of money, so they have to have family money. So they tend to be wealthier than most. Yeah. And if you look at, you know, trust fund people tend to go in, like Kennedys or you name them, Bushes, you name them, Kerry up in Pennsylvania, wealthy people go in there. And they lean that way.
Well, I mean, you know, you got wealthy Republicans, you got wealthy Democrats, and they're going to support whatever party they feel that they want to support. But still, bottom line, they hunt for votes during election time. They come down and give you a big spiel about what they're going to do for you. And when you say, hey, that's not the best decision for us, they ignore you.
Well, maybe they think it's the right decision and they're betting it out and they haven't seen polling numbers or whatever. So I guess maybe if they listen to this, then maybe they'll change their mind on it. They need to lay it out there. Like Clayton said, they won't do it in the form of a referendum. Mm-hmm. They're afraid it'll lose.
Yeah, and then it's the other thing. They just want to be part of the crew. They just want to be part of the team of supporting whatever element or cabal that they're supporting up there in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a mess. That is for sure. Guys, we got about 7 minutes left before the end of the show. Anything nationally that you guys want to talk about? Or Ron, I know you're on Mike Huckabee show this weekend. Folks can catch that on it's TBN Network, correct?
TBN, yeah. TBN. He's such a great guy. And their studios are up in Nashville. They have the old Twitty City. And the story there is interesting because Conway Twitty, great country music singer back in the day. Opryland wasn't getting all the stars on stage back in the day. It got political, and there was a battle in Opryland to get people on there. So he started Twitty City up in Hendersonville, just a great campus of studios, recording studios and stuff up there. And Opryland he started drawing people away from Opryland. And basically, Opryland put in a rule that you can't perform on the Grand Ole Opry if you perform within 100 miles of Nashville. So that bankrupt Twitty City and Conway Twitty, and it created Branson, Missouri, because it was a little bit over 100 miles away. So Branson, Missouri became the next kind of the next level Nashville in terms of performers, second tier performers, the ability to play on stage. So that's how Twitty City got started. So TBN bought the studios up there, and they're very nice, as nice as anything you'll ever see in terms of studio production. And Nashville has a real possibility if they keep on doing this, and it would be good for Columbia too, to get a lot more movie stars and performers and people to move to Nashville. You know, you have Muscle Shoals, which has a lot of history in music. And of course, Memphis with Sun Records in Memphis. So Tennessee could really keep that trend toward entertainment. And you got Nicole Kidman living in Nashville. You got some movie stars living there. She's from there, but Reese Witherspoon is up in Nashville. Zero income tax, centrally located. Good airports, et cetera. So, it's a good thing for Columbia, too, because you have an airport down there. Williamson County, Franklin doesn't have an airport. So that you have the Murray County Airport, which would be really good for country music stars to get in and out of down there in Columbia. So I see that as a big growth area for Nashville.
Well, speaking of Mike Huckabee, his daughter, the governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, her name's been floated around some about a potential VP pick for Trump. This morning, though, I don't know if you saw any of the headlines, either one of you, the name that got floated out this morning, which really surprised me, was little Marco Rubio is being potentially seriously, the headline was seriously considered as a potential VP pick for Trump. Any thoughts on that?
That would be good. He could just lead him around just like he led Pence around. You know, and that was interesting, too. Pence came out and said he wasn't endorsing Trump.
Sour Grapes, yeah, Mr. York.
Yeah, Pence is a little weasel. I've never liked him. He's very pious in his conversations.
What would Rubio be? If Pence is a weasel, what would Rubio be?
What does Kamala Harris do? She just sucks up to Biden and says the border is secure. I mean, she's worst of all of them.
We ain't talking about Kamala. I'm talking about
Vice President. You don't want to talk about Kamala.
Kamala is the Vice President as it exists. If you look at putting Mark Rubio in as a vice president for Trump, you got something even worse than.
I think the play would be that Florida used to be a swing state. Now it's pretty solidly Republican. A. B. The Hispanic vote's very much in play.
That's
it. Biden just went out to Arizona and gave him $8.5 billion trying to pander to the Arizona vote out there, using our tax dollars to get votes. That's transparently, overtly political what he just did in Arizona. So. I mean, the Hispanic banks are really, and Biden's losing a lot of Hispanic votes. I think they're tired of it. Many of them have their mother-in-laws down in Mexico. They don't want to live in the country.
Well, I know your buddy Trump is trying to, he's holding a fundraiser next week, $250,000 for a ticket and then $800,000 for a ticket. And if you buy an $800,000 ticket, you get a title of chairman. Now, it didn't say what, just chairman.
You know, I always give out titles. Both sides does that. They give you those names or whatever. It doesn't mean anything. It means you're a big donor, whatever. So,
yeah. And Elon Musk is kind of going against Trump, too. He met with Trump, and then he made a statement that he was thinking about supporting Biden after he met with Trump.
I
didn't see it either. Send that over.
Yeah.
I would imagine he's trying to stay neutral so they don't take his license or whatever. He's got a lot of government contracts. He's been bullied
by
the Democrats for leaving the plantation.
Correct. My sense was, from what I read after his meeting was that, you know, the meeting went well, but he is not going to support either side. He's not going to give money to either candidate. And I think it goes back to what Ron says. You look at, you know, SpaceX and what they're doing with their partnership with NASA and other things, putting satellites up in the space. I mean, he really cannot afford to go too far one way or the other.
Unfortunately, the reason he can't, Clayton, is because the Democrats will use the government to go after him. The SEC is auditing him now over Tesla, some expenses from 15 years ago with Tesla, him claiming a house near the plant or something like that, something very, very petty.
And he's had several lawsuits.
Of course, yeah. There's not a businessman in the world at that level, Mr. York, doesn't have lawsuits.
Yeah,
just don't kid yourself. There's no one. Henry Ford back in the day, whoever builds a big business, Bernie Marcus at Home Depot, they all got lawsuits left and right. So anytime there's money changing hands and contracts happening, they're going to be lawsuits. That's a given.
Well, fellas, we're down to the final minute of the show. Any final words before we take a break for the weekend and we come back on Monday?
Yeah, I want to ask Delk. I wish he was here. I want to talk about what the Supreme Court is trying to do with judge shopping. That would be something. I saw something about that this week.
I know they
Supreme Court is tackling that.
I know they did side with Texas as far as with the immigration law that they had passed, being able to apprehend and deport illegal immigrants crossing the border. So, Ron, any final words?
You should have the ability to protect your borders. And Texas was joined by a bunch of states, including Illinois, to say, hey, yeah, we have sovereign right to protect our borders. If the federal government won't do it, which they won't, then we have the right to do it ourselves. I like that idea.
Well, guys,
the bus company stopped transporting immigrants for Abbott, though.
That is it. We are out of time. We want to thank everybody for listening. Ron, Mr. York, we appreciate it. We'll see everybody on Monday.